The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Suburbanite.
Harry.
Yeah?
As your lawyer and your personal friend, I would like to make a request.
Yeah.
Don't give me any spiel, Harry. Just the plain, unvarnished truth.
Alvin, would I lie to you?
Yes.
Even when I'm completely 100% innocent?
When were you ever...
This time, Alvin, so help me.
All right, all right. Tell me what happened.
I know it's going to sound screwy.
Harry, but... I've been practicing criminal law for 30 years. It's impossible to surprise me. Now, go ahead, please.
Well, I guess I better start with Daisy.
Daisy?
You remember me telling you about Daisy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's the one you've been engaged to for quite some time.
15 years.
Now, you know, Harry, I often wondered why you didn't...
I did. That was my mistake.
You married her?
2 years ago, yeah.
You never told me.
Well, I haven't seen you since.
You married Daisy. Well, what do you think of that?
That's what I'm going to tell you. What I think of it.
As I remember, Daisy was very cute.
She's fat now.
Really?
Mm.
Well, sick transit.
Huh?
Never mind. Go on, Harry. And maybe you better start from the beginning.
Okay. Well, like I said, Daisy and I got married 2 years ago, and for 6 months, everything was going just fine.
Mm-hmm.
We took this apartment out in Fernwood Gardens, and you could hardly tell us from legitimate people. And then something happened to Daisy.
Yeah?
All of a sudden, she wanted to be legitimate. I mean, not just look it. She wanted me to get a job.
A job? You?
Me. And what's worse, I got one.
Harry!
You can say that again.
A job?
Selling automobiles. And if I say so, I was a pretty hot salesman.
A job, huh?
Hey, I thought nothing could surprise you.
Well, I take it back. Did you intend to keep this job?
No, of course not. I just wanted Daisy to have a little fun for a while, and then I'd go back to the rackets. And that, Alvin, is where the trouble started.
Well, I'm not sure I believe any of this, Harry, but try me some more.
It's the truth, Alvin.
All right, go on.
Well, I was selling automobiles for almost a year when one night I got a phone call from an old partner of mine, Phil Connors. He was in the city, and for old time's sake, he wanted me to come in and have a beer with him. So I put on my hat and coat and walked toward the front door.
Harry?
Yes, dear?
Where are you going?
Oh, just down to the showroom. I want to clean out my desk.
At 9 o'clock at night?
Well, my desk is awfully dirty, Daisy. Honest it is.
You're not going to any showroom. You're going into the Third Street Bar and Grill to meet that no-good swindler, Phil Connors.
Daisy, you were listening on the extension, and you promised me...
I promised you I wouldn't listen in on business calls. Harry, you know Phil doesn't want you to have a sociable beer. He's got some deal he wants you to work on. I could tell by the tone of his voice.
Daisy, haven't I told you many times?
You have, but you don't mean it.
Daisy.
All it would take is one easy deal and you'd be back in the rackets again.
But Daisy,
Harry, don't we have a nice home here? Aren't we meeting nice, respectable people?
Daisy,
don't you want to be able to hold your head up and
Daisy,
say...
Daisy, my head is up. All I'm going to do is have one small beer with an old friend.
He's a crook.
He's an expert in his line, Daisy.
Harry, don't go into the city, please. Listen, I'll invite the Pattersons over, and you and Jim can play gin rummy.
Oh, he's a lousy player.
He wouldn't be if you didn't slip him a stack deck every time.
I'm sorry, Daisy. I've had enough of the Pattersons and the Johnsons and the Schmidts and the Pearsons and all the other nice, respectable people. I got to talk to a crook like Phil, or I'll just blow my top. Don't wait up for me. I may be a little late.
On the bureau list of wanted swindlers, Phil Connors occupied a prominent and distinctive position. The police of 7 states were looking for Phil, and a long line of suckers was waiting to recover thousands of dollars that had been separated from them by this glib-tongued con man. Phil always worked with partners, and among them was Harry Taylor, who, it was rumored in swindling circles, was going straight. temporarily.
Harry, Harry, you old son of a gun. It sure is good to see you.
How are you, Phil?
You sit down, boy. Meet the cutest little lady you ever peddled a cigarette in a night spot. Gladys is my old friend and business associate, Harry Fay.
Hi.
I'm glad to make your acquaintance, Harry. Phil told me
right,
a great
Gladys,
deal.
Now, don't strain your intellect with long sentences. You just look beautiful.
Oh, it's me awful.
He's a class A jerk.
My pal, I love him.
That's a boy, huh?
Hey, Gus, a double scotch with water for my friend. Is that right, Harry?
Right.
Oh, it sure is good to see you, Harry. You know, you're looking wonderful. What are you doing with yourself?
I'm ashamed to tell you.
Phil says you and him have done some beautiful deals together.
Oh, that we have, gorgeous.
I always like a gentleman
Gladys,
who
is... sweetheart, I think it's time that you went and powdered your nose, huh? What do you say?
Are you trying to get rid of me?
Yeah, for about 10 minutes. I want to discuss something with Harry.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. I'm only here to be social.
Oh, I think he's cute, Phil.
Gladys.
Okay, I'll go. I can tell when I'm not wanted. Don't go away, Harry.
I won't.
Well, Harry, old boy, you look wonderful.
Yeah, you already said that. Now, look, Phil, whatever deal you're going to offer me, I can't take it. I'm sorry.
Well, at least you could hear what it is.
No matter what it is.
Well, besides, how do you know I'm going to offer you a deal?
Aren't you?
Yeah.
You'd even offer me Gladys if I came in.
Well, huh? She's pretty cute, isn't she? Huh?
Yeah.
Just the type for an old jerk like you.
Yeah,
right?
Now, I'm only 40.
Well, she's only 22.
Well, whatever the deal is, Phil, the answer is no.
You want to bet?
How much?
$50.
Okay, that's a bet. Gladys and all, you're going to lose.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Gus, make that 2 double scotches and a glass of milk for the little lady.
Back to the Suburbanite in just a minute. And now here's the latest news about no-dos. Why take chances when you take a trip? Be sure you're clear-headed and clear-thinking when you're behind the wheel of your car. Take no-dos and keep alert safely. No-dos Awakeners, America's favorite wake-up tablet since 1933, are safe as coffee. No-dos will keep you safely alert when long stretches of highway, the purr of your motor, or warm, muggy weather make you just a little drowsy, just a little careless. You can depend on no-dos to give you a lift without a letdown, bring you back to normal alertness gently. So make sure you have safe, convenient no-dos with you when you travel. Keep a box handy in your pocket and in the glove compartment of your car. Ask for no-dos at your favorite drugstore. Look for the blue box with the bright red letters. N-O-D-O-Z. No-dos. 15 tablets, 35 cents. 36 tablets, 69 cents. Large economy size of 60 tablets, only 98 cents. Get some today. No-dos is a registered trademark of Grove Laboratories. Now, Act Two of tonight's story, The Suburbanite.
So then he comes out with the deal, and I must admit it's a very neat proposition.
And he won the $50.
He did not. I didn't say yes.
Did you say no?
No, I didn't say no.
What did you say?
Well...
The truth, Harry.
The truth is, Alvin, I told him I'd think it over.
I thought so.
Now listen, this was an airtight proposition. He had this rich sucker all lined up to buy these shares of phony uranium stock from Canada, see?
Mm-hmm.
Now all I had to do was be a Canadian geologist and give this technical spiel that Phil got out of a library. He even had literature printed about the Uranium Mining Company of Canada Limited.
Mm-hmm. How long did you think it over before you said yes?
Alvin, now you're talking like a lawyer.
I am a lawyer.
Could I tell this my own way, please?
All right, go ahead.
All right. Like I said, I didn't say yes, and I didn't say no. I said I'd think it over. Meantime, something else was happening that Phil hadn't figured on.
Our lead on Phil Connors was a prospectus for mining shares that Connors had handed out to a long list of suckers. On the prospectus, there was an address and phone number of the New York office of the mining company. Agent Reynolds and I went to this office, which turned out to be a warehouse on Lower Broadway. The watchman at the warehouse, a confused old man, had evidently been paid to answer the phone, if it ever rang, and give the same response to every caller.
And then when it would ring, I was supposed to say, Uranium Mining Company of Canada Limited. And then when they asked for Mr. Connors, I was supposed to say that he just left for Montreal. He'll be back early next week.
And did anybody call?
No, sir. Not one single one. I practiced every day what I was supposed to say, but nobody ever called.
How much were you paid for doing this, Mr. Golby?
Well, Mr. Connors asked me if I wanted $50 cash or 1,000 shares of stock. And seeing as I never owned any stock, I figured I might as well become a participant.
What?
Well, that's what you are when you buy stock in the company.
Oh, I see.
When did you hear from Mr. Connors last, Mr. Golby?
Oh, that must have been 6 months ago. I guess he's still up in Montreal.
Does he ever write or call you?
No.
Have you any idea where he lived while he was here in town?
No.
Where did you meet Connors?
I didn't. He met me.
Where?
Right here. My daughter, Gladys, she knew him.
Your daughter?
Yeah, she used to sell cigarettes at this place on 52nd Street. Used to charge 60 cents a pack. That's highway robbery.
It certainly is. Where is your daughter now, Mr. Golby?
I don't know. She only comes to see me a couple of times a year. She's pretty busy.
Where is this place she sold cigarettes?
Oh, you got me, mister. Say, how come you fellas are asking me all these questions?
We're friends of Mr. Connors. We're trying to find him.
Oh. Well, he's up in Montreal, Canada. I guess he'll be back early next week sometime.
Uranium Mining of Canada Limited. A potential producing equity with unlimited growth possibilities.
What is that, Daisy?
What is that? It's a prospectus for a phony mining company, the kind of come-on that crooks hand out to suckers.
Oh, well, you shouldn't have things like that, Daisy.
I found it in your coat pocket.
In my coat pocket?
Your coat pocket.
Which coat?
The brown coat with the white stripe.
When?
Oh, Harry.
Now, look, Daisy, I know how this must appear on the surface.
Harry, how can you do this to me?
Do what?
Just when we're getting established in Fernwood Gardens.
Daisy.
Just when we get our names in the Fernwood Chronicle, what's going on in Fernwood column.
Oh, Daisy.
There it is. Read it. Mr. and Mrs. Harry Taylor will visit friends in Mahwah, New Jersey next week.
We don't know anybody in Mahwah.
What difference does it make? We got our names in the column. We're accepted as normal people.
Oh, please, Daisy, don't cry. It makes my eyes water.
After all your promises.
Well, do we know anybody in Mahwah?
I gave them that item. I phoned it in. I wanted to see our names in the paper, just like other people's names. I wanted to... Where are you going, Harry?
I thought I'd drop down at the showroom for a while.
The Pattersons are coming over tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight.
Well, he'll talk about golf.
What if he does?
His wife will talk about babies.
Well, what if she does? That's what people talk about in Fernwood.
Yeah, I know it is.
They don't talk about who's in the jug and who beat what rap and who got his picture on a wanted circular.
Do I have to wear a tie?
Yes.
And do we have to look at the television after George is through talking about golf?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'll get dressed. I still say we don't know anybody in Mahwah, New Jersey. So that's how it was. Daisy was trying to pin me down to Fernwood, and Phil was trying to unpin me.
Well, what about this Gladys number?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question.
I thought so. My guess is...
And you are 100% right. Phil was using this gorgeous creature as bait to take my mind off selling automobiles.
So you paid him the $50?
Would you, let me finish my way, Alvin.
All right, go ahead.
Well, next time I was supposed to meet Phil at this beer joint, he wasn't there. But over a little table in a dark corner,
there was Gladys.
And Phil said he knew you wouldn't mind if he didn't make it on account of this cold he's got.
Oh, I don't mind.
Me neither. Phil says you and I ought to get along fine together.
Yeah, I think we will.
Me too. Phil says you're very talented.
Yeah?
He says it's a pleasure to see you operate on a sucker.
Well, back in the old days...
He says you should tell me about the time you and him trimmed this old guy in New Haven, Connecticut.
Old what's his name?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, yeah, we sold the old coot 500 acres of Florida real estate that was under 10 feet of water.
Gee, how did you do it, Harry?
Oh, well, I was posing as this government surveyor, you see. You don't want to hear this kind of story.
Of course I do.
No, you don't want to hear it.
Yes, I do, Harry.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
About how we trimmed old watches?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story.
I don't care. I'm not going anyplace.
You're not?
Except with you.
With me?
Mm-hmm.
Gladys.
Yes?
You look very pretty, Gladys.
Thank you, Harry.
You are very pretty, Gladys.
Now tell me about old Watts, Harry.
Well...
And sit over here. There's plenty of room.
Over there?
If you don't think it'll be too crowded.
No, I don't think it'll be too crowded.
Me neither. Oh, there, that's better. Yeah. Now, go ahead and tell me all about it, Harry.
Back to the Suburbanites in just a moment.
The familiar theme music of O'Brien's Symphonic Colors serves to remind you of O'Brien's new Colors of the Year, each giving you more color per color. Fresh new paint colors. O'Brien's Symphonic Colors are just what you want for your home this season, inside and out. Take a look around your neighborhood. See how important color is these days. Then select longer-lasting O'Brien exterior paints. You'll want O'Brien Symphonic Colors of the Year for inside your home, too. Every one decorator-approved to match your blend with the latest fabrics and furnishings. The secret of this perfect harmony is the extra pigments which give O'Brien Symphonic Colors their unusual depth and richness. Ask your O'Brien paint dealer, listed in the yellow pages of your phone book, for your free color chip folder. Then treat your home to O'Brien's Symphonic Colors of the Year.
And now, Act Three of tonight's story, The Suburbanite.
So then
I told Gladys another story about Phil and me, and the more I got to talking about old times, the more I got to thinking. And the more I got to thinking...
Yes?
Did I leave out about Gladys and the FBI?
Gladys and the FBI?
Yeah, I left that out, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Well, that's a very important part of the story.
With a direct link between Phil Connors and the watchman's daughter, we began a search for this young lady. We found the nightclub where she had sold cigarettes, and from there traced her to a number of midtown hotels and rooming houses. At the Royal Hotel on East 40th Street, Gladys herself answered the door buzzer.
Hello. Do I know you?
And not yet, Miss Walker. May we come in?
FBI.
That's right.
What did I do?
Nothing, Miss Walker. We'd just like to ask you a few questions.
Well, sure, but I got a date at the hairdresser. Could we make it some other time, maybe?
I'm afraid not.
Miss Walker, where is Phil Connors?
Who?
Phil Connors.
Who's he?
According to your father, he's a friend of yours.
According to who?
Your father.
Papa?
That's right.
You've been talking to Papa?
Yes, we have.
How is he? Did they get him something to keep his feet warm at the warehouse? They're real cheap, those people.
Miss Walker, where is Phil Connors?
I haven't seen him in 6 months.
Miss Walker.
Honest, fellas, if I knew where he was, wouldn't I tell you? Would I tell a story?
2 seconds ago, you said you didn't know him.
I didn't know you meant that, Phil Connors. I thought you meant...
Your phone, Miss Walker.
It's somebody I don't want to talk to.
Better answer it.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Gladys. It's me, Harry. Now, listen, Gladys, I'm home and somebody might walk in any minute, so I'll talk fast. I've been thinking over Phil's deal, and if you think I ought to go in with him, I will. Gladys. Hello, Gladys, you listening? I just said...
What are you doing? You might have let me hear what he said instead of snatching the phone like that.
I'm letting Harry think he's been disconnected. Then I'm going to see if Harry is the Harry we think he is. Hello, operator. This is Agent David Reynolds of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. There'll be a call coming in here in a few minutes due to a disconnection. Will you put a tracer on that call, please?
Are you listening to me?
Yes, dear.
What did I say?
You said you were listening to me over the extension when all the time I thought you were down at the supermarket buying green stamps.
Well?
Well, then you know the truth. I'm going in on a deal with Phil.
You weren't talking to Phil.
That was his cousin. She's a social worker.
I'll bet.
Daisy, I tried to be a good auto salesman in a shining light in Fernwood Gardens, but my fuse just blew, Daisy. I've had it.
Are you leaving me?
As much as I hate to say it, Daisy, I...
As much as you hate to say what?
Wait till I see who it is. Yes?
Hello, Harry. FBI. Can we come in?
Who is it, Harry?
The FBI, Daisy. They want to talk to me.
What about?
We'd like to ask your husband
you
about...
You can ask him anything you want, but he has been going absolutely straight for one whole year. And if you try to pin anything on him, you'll have to pin it on me, too.
Daisy.
All we want, Mrs. Taylor...
I know what you want. And he has been seeing a former friend of his who's a great big crook. But all Harry wanted to do is tell his friend that he should go straight, too.
Is your friend Phil Connors, Harry?
I refuse.
Yes, it is Phil Connors, and Harry was going to meet him at the 3rd Street Bar and Grill tonight.
Daisy!
Now, if you gentlemen want to question us, go ahead, but we refuse to talk without advice of counsel.
Okay, Mrs. Taylor. Let's all get out now.
Daisy.
What, Harry?
I just wanted to say that what I said before the buzzer rang, I take it back.
I should hope so.
I'd never leave you, Daisy.
Of course you wouldn't. Even for a social worker. All right, boys. We can go downtown. Harry, stand up straight. They haven't got anything on you, Harry.
Mrs. Harry Taylor was correct. There was no evidence that Harry Taylor had slipped from the straight and narrow. But Phil Connors, who was wanted for numerous frauds, was tried and sentenced to a 3-year term in prison. Gladys Walker is back selling cigarettes, and Harry Taylor is selling automobiles. And Mrs. Taylor, we understand, is still the happy suburbanite.
More families, far more families, use X-Lax than any other laxative.